Matthew chapter 24. Jesus went out and departed from the temple. His disciples came to him to show him the buildings of the temple. Isn't that interesting? They're going to show him something. Oh, let me show you this. Jesus said to them, "See ye not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, so this is across the way, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately. "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars, rumors of war. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come, but the end is not yet." Now, and you consider that in prophecy, and look back in history, and we can see the world, you know, world wars prior to Christ, and then we look at the wars following his birth and his life. And we look at modern day, you know, where we actually term them world wars. And then the ones that have had so many involved, even though they weren't labeled as world wars. And so then what have we heard in recent years? Peace, peace. Right? Last year was peace, everywhere peace. And then now we're back to saber rattling. Wars and rumors of wars. Verse 7, "Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilence, earthquakes in diverse places. These are the beginning of sorrow." So we've heard all of those things, right? We can all relate to every one of those terms. Verse 9, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake." So are there martyred today? Yes, there are. Where they're willing to take a stand. Many false prophets, verse 11. Oh, verse 10. "And then shall many be offended." We don't live in that term, in that day, do we? "And shall betray one another." Right? We living in those days? "And shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." Love. Passion. Right now we're dealing with COVID fatigue. People are tired of it. Tired of the rules, and they're, you know, on one side you got the people who are not so deeply affected. They're tired of all the restrictions. And then you got the ones who are deeply affected because they're losing loved ones or they're sick themselves, and they're tired of it because of what it is. We've turned, just in this country, we've turned people against each just because of restrictions. And somebody called me the other day, a church member, and said, "Is the vaccine the mark of the beast?" And I said, "It's not. But it's getting us closer." Guys, this is all preliminary. If we can get everybody, number one, hating each other, afraid of everything, you know. Now, can you tell me how to spread the coronavirus or how to protect yourself from it? Lock yourself away. And you know, so nobody knows what's going to protect you from this. People have been following all the rules, still getting it, right? So, I'll tell you what you do. You live your life. You live your life. Have hands, do the best you can. But at the end of the day, you don't know how to avoid it. And so, everything that we've tried obviously hadn't worked. And so then you got some people that argue about it and debate about it and get mad at each other about it, hate one another and betray one. Guys, it's completely out of control. And many, here it says, verse 12, and so love shall wax cold. People are just tired of people. They don't want to be around people because they don't want to argue. They don't want to hear it. And so they withdraw. He that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So you got to just hang on. You'll make it. The gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. The question was asked, has the gospel been, has it reached the four corners of the globe? Y'all think about that. Four corners of the globe. Has it reached all the earth? Well, the answer is, if you go to all of the, even the ancient abandoned tribes of civilization, you will find that the Bible stories have been handed down by tradition, orally, verbally, for generations. Now, what happens when we tell a story? How many of you ever told a story and changed it? Not on purpose necessarily, right? But the details changed. That story I was telling the other day about Brother Bill and the anchor, I changed it because that was Brother Al. That wasn't you. That was me and Brother Al. And he was trying to go and had the anchor still out. Now I remember who I remembered it later that day. But, you know, we tell a story and sometimes it changes. So, unfortunately, it doesn't hold its purity necessarily through the oral traditions, but the question being, has the gospel reached the world? And I would say that it has, and it is. They're still forming, they're still reaching languages that don't have a written language. They're still reaching tribes that don't have the gospel in their, you know, tongue. And so we are still reaching it. I don't know how you would measure those lost tribes, if you will. You know, South America or Africa, maybe even in Asia, that just, we don't even know they're there. But I'm sure that we are, if we haven't already reached everybody, we're right at the threshold. But there's no way to know, is there? The question is not if everybody gets saved. That's not going to happen. The question is if everybody has the opportunity, if everybody has the knowledge, the understanding to be saved. And then shall the end come, he says. Verse 15, when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. And then he talks about escaping and hiding and securing yourself. Verse 20, pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. This shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time. So, where are we? We're somewhere right near the rapture. And then the Lord's going to, they're going to be the trump of God. And Jesus is going to come in the clouds, and all those who are saved will be caught out. And then what will happen? There'll be worldwide panic. Celebration, because some people will be glad we're gone. But there will be the rise of the Antichrist. He's not going to wear a name badge that says, hey, I'm the Antichrist. He's going to be a worldwide leader that unites the world. Does the world need to be united? Sure it does. You look at where we are today. You know, everybody's scared of this disease. Everybody's scared. They're not only scared of the disease, they're scared of the vaccine. And so everybody's scared and panicked, and, you know, not to mention what's happened to our economy in the last, you know, year. And so the economy, by the way, God bless America. We're still doing well, aren't we? Still doing it. We got, you know, we're not happy about it. It's a little more expensive, but we're making it. And so you look at the world, and be something along, get the world all on one page. Everybody, hey, we're all in this together. Remember, that was the mantra. And that's going to be the mantra for the Antichrist. We're all in this together. Let's just stand together. One world government. All the stuff we've been hearing. But here's the thing. Now, we're serious about this vaccine. Everybody's got to get the vaccine. Okay? And here's the thing. right? When, how do I know if you got the vaccine? We went to a theme park, and there was a sign, and it said, our vaccinated guests are not required to wear masks. Then there was no, there was, it was an honor system. They didn't ask anybody, are you vaccinated? Or where's your card? By the way, you know, I've got my card, and I was going to bring it with me in case I ran into any problems, but I hadn't had anybody ask me to see my card. Okay, but here's the problem. You think anybody would lie about being vaccinated? So how are we going to prove it? I tell you what we need to do is we need to have a chip in everybody's hand. Y'all not following me on this? Let me express to you, this is where we're going. That's where we're going. Because here's the thing. Leon County, go ahead. Well, but here's the thing. Leon County just, their administrator passed a rule that Leon County employee, I know everybody around the world is saying, why is this Matthew chapter 24? We're going to get there. Leon County employees have to be vaccinated by October 1st or they lose their job. Well, and their attorney said they can do it. And by the way, Orange County, that's Orlando, they're doing it too. So it's going to be tested, and the only way to test it, you're right, change the trend, the only way to test it is for enough employees to say, we'll see. And if they'll wait till October 1st and Leon County has to fire, you know, they look at their numbers and say, well, we're going to lose our whole system if we do that, then they won't do it. But people want to keep their jobs, right? So what do? We make them get vaccinated. We make them prove it. How do we make them prove it? Because I could make you a card. I could make a photocopy. I'm not saying I would do that, by the way, in case anybody's listening. But you can make a card, put your name on it, and fraudulently say, I got it. Okay, right? Can that be done? That can be done. So how can we prove it? A chip in the hand. Guys, y'all know this is where it's going. The cards are available. You can get them right now. But you'll be able, the only way to prove it is with a microchip, which has already been invented. It's already available. It's widely available. And it's the only way we're going to be able to prove. You know why? Because you won't be able to work without it. You won't be able to buy or sell without it. You say, Pastor, where do you get that? The book of Revelation, chapter 13. This is where it's going. Guys, this is the vessel that gets them there. We're going to be gone. But that's where it's going, Sister Charlotte. Yeah. Yeah, cashless society, sure. Right. Well, and so how did we do it? Well, the step was to get everybody comfortable with a Social Security number. Next step was to get everybody comfortable with a chip in their credit card. And now with their cell phone, they can these. So they can listen to everything you say. Oh, Brother Derek's a conspiracy theorist. No, it's reality. I mean, it's true. I don't know anybody that argues those points. They've got us comfortable with all of this. And so the next step is just a chip. Guys, I mean, hey, here's the thing. Don't you love your parents? Don't you, if they get dementia and they get lost, don't you love them? I mean, you get them a little chip, we can find them. Don't you love your children? Kids get kidnapped, don't you? I mean, you put a chip in your dog and your cat, won't you put a chip in your kid to track them? Guys, it's all here. The Bible's already shown us where we're going. We are going that way. The only difference is that we're closer now than we've ever been. That's all. Now, what can we do to avoid it? And, you know, so people ask, well, what about the vaccine, if you get the vaccine? And then, of course, parents can make their kids get the vaccine. And so the kids have no control over it. So what if the kids have to get the chip because their parents make them? And I don't know how far out we are. I don't know. But I can tell you that the rapture takes place before that stuff. Before that stuff. So get ready. Look at verse 22. Except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Remember what happens after the rapture is we've got the two witnesses. We've got that preach the gospel. We've got the 144,000 Jews that turn to Jesus and start preaching the gospel. And so people are getting saved during the tribulation. Okay? And they're rejecting all of this stuff that we're reading about. So it's the gospel is going to continue even after the church is taken out. The work's going to be handed over to Israel again. Verse 24, there shall arise false Christs, false prophets, signs and wonders insomuch, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, if they shall say unto you, behold, Jesus is in the desert, go not forth. He is in the secret chamber, believe it not. Jesus is not coming back on the earth this next go around. He's coming in the air and taking us out of here. And so, if somebody says they're Jesus, they're through the ages have been people rise up and say, I'm the reincarnation of Christ. That's not true. No, because he said not to believe it. But you know, here's the thing, is when Jesus comes back, when the rapture takes place, when we're gone, so all of the Christians are gone, but don't you know there's still going to be churches functioning because there are people in churches that don't, they're not Jesus, they don't believe in Jesus. Isn't that hard to imagine? But they've trusted religion instead of trusting in Christ and asking forgiveness. They've trusted their religion to save them. Baptism, church membership, giving, good deeds, that stuff doesn't save us. The only thing that saves us is when we put our trust in Christ for the So there'll be people, religious people, still operating churches. But those who believe will be gone. Verse number 33, likewise, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. You see that? Jesus says, guys, pay attention. God's people should not be surprised. And the message of these two chapters that we're looking at, the message is, get ready. The message is, don't wait. We've got to be ready because Jesus could come back at any time. Now, if he came back right now and found us where we are in our current situation, would we be satisfied? Would you be satisfied for the Lord to come back right now? Well, a lot of times we say, well, I want to reach this person, or I want to help that person, or I need to clean this up, or I need to change that. We got to be ready. It could happen in a moment. Verse 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I can't tell you when it's going to happen. If I did, I'd be great. But I can't tell you when. As the days of Noah were, verse 36, the coming of the Son of Man be. As in the days that were before the flood, they were eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage till the day that Noah entered into the ark. He said life just continued. Noah's out here building the ark 120 years. He finally finishes building this huge ark in the middle of the desert. And what's everybody else doing? Living life like normal. No urgency, no concern, no worries until the day God came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Two shall be in the field, one taken left. Are we talking to our co-workers about Jesus? One taken, the other left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, the other left. Are we talking to our friends about Jesus? Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. If the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched. Would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of God. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord over his household to give him meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. What has God called us to do? What is God's will for our lives? What has God got for us, our purpose? And are we fulfilling it? And if he comes back today, are we ready to go? Verse 48, but if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delays his coming, and begins to smite his fellow servant, and to drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of. Has it lost? Guys, I know that I'm, let me look around, almost the youngest one in the room. And if you've been in church or listening to preaching, you've heard this more than I have. The Lord could come back today. It's like we get rapture fatigue. We're tired of hearing it. But this is what happens to the evil servant. The evil servant says, he ain't coming back. I remember riding with a church member one time. He said, I believe the rapture's another 1,000 years off. Well, let me tell you something. If you believe it's 1,000 years off, that's as good as saying it's not going to happen. You just don't believe it's real. I get it. I can understand why people would say it's a fantastic idea. It's an unbelievable idea. It is. It's never happened before. Doesn't mean it's not going to happen. It's because it's never happened before. That'd be like saying, I'm never going to die. Why? Just because you never have before. Well, guess what? It's certain. It's certain. But then when we give up and say it's just not going to happen, then we're going to get sloppy and we're going to get lazy. We're going to lose our discipline. We're going to get reckless. But as long as, I don't know about how you work. When I work, I always work with the mentality that somebody's watching me. Somebody's watching. And this was before there were cameras everywhere. I can remember being a boy out working in the yard and always having the mindset, well, you know, their neighbors are watching me work out in the yard. And so I always want to do my best. And I always had that mentality that the neighbors would see the, what's that? Well, the effort, but also the outcome. In other words, they would see if the yard was good or not. They would see if I did a good job. And I always had that mindset that people are grading me or measuring and watching me. Am I the only one that has that idea? But I always worked with that idea in mind. Now, of course, that made me do a better job. I believe that if we always have the mindset that somebody's watching us, it's going to keep us from doing things we shouldn't do. And so when we get the idea that nobody's watching, that's when we get in trouble. And when we get the idea that Jesus is not coming, that's when we're going to get in trouble. But if we have the idea that he could be here before church is out today, we're going to sit up and not fall asleep during preaching. Even after eating breakfast this morning. Right? He talked about virgins in chapter 25. And here's the thing about this parable. We could dissect it and pull out every little point. But here's the point. The point is that when he comes, we got to be ready. Because half of these people weren't ready when he came. And the most telling part, you say, well, were they saved or were they unsaved? Were they saved and lost their salvation? That's not what happened. Here's the thing. Look at verse number 12. He answered and said, I say unto you, I know you not. That's all I need to know they weren't saved. It's a parable. It's a parallel. These 10 people represent the world. And half of them are ready and half of them are not. Watch therefore, verse 13, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. So what's the point of the parable? The point of the parable is that Jesus is coming back. That's the point. The point is not how much oil can I get by with or Should we share our oil? That's not the point. The point is, you got to be ready. I got to be ready. I can't count on somebody else to be ready for me. I can't count on my grandma being saved to help me get into heaven. The only way I'm getting into heaven is when I put my faith in Jesus and ask forgiveness of my sins. But I have to ask. My daddy can't ask for me. My children can't ask for me. I've got to ask. Salvation is an individual, independent idea and responsibility. Then he goes on and talks about, excuse me, the kingdom of heaven in verse 14, a man traveling to a far country with servants. And what did he do with the servants? He gave them all responsibilities. He made them stewards. He took his journey. Verse number 16, he that had received the five talents went and traded with the same and made them other five talents, doubled his money. Likewise, he that received two gained other two. He that had received one went and digged in the earth and hid the Lord's money. Least to lose, and he didn't gamble it. Isn't that incredible? How we say, well, I just got to hold on to this. And so we don't put it to purpose. We don't put it to use. The money is a tool. Whatever we have, they're tools. They're to be used. How many of you ever, don't have to raise your hand, ever had a boat? You know what I know about a boat? I know all those jokes, but we don't use them much. And so you know what I do? I look out the back window at my boat and I say, I need to go use my boat. Why? Because that's why it's there, to be used. It's not there as decoration. And so I try to think, when can I go on my boat? All the tools we have, we look at all of our tools that we have in our workshops and we say, I need to use those tools. If we don't use them, what do we end up doing? We give them away. And then we need them the next time. Need it back. But that's, anytime you sell something, give it away, you're going to need it as soon as it's gone. Go borrow it. That's right. But we have these things in our lives to use. And money is a tool to be used. We're not to hoard it. We're to use it. Now, I'm not saying waste it, because if you'll save it right, you'll be able to use it longer. Right? But this guy, all he did is went and hid it. He didn't use it. Our talents, our gifts of God. Right? Well, I don't want to sing too much. It might ruin my voice. Well, why do you have a voice if you're not going to sing with it? If we're not going to talk, if we're not going to preach, what's the point of having it? And so what happened? Anyway, the Lord came back and he reckoned with his servants. Verse 20, he that received five brought other five, saying, Lord, thou deliverest to me five talents. I have gained beside them five talents more. Verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. That's that phrase I want to hear. Well done. Somebody said one time, say, I'm afraid when I stand before God, God's going to say, I had such greater hopes for you. I expected so much more. Instead of well done. I'd rather hear well done than I'm disappointed. And so the other one the same way. And then the one that had the one, verse number 25 said, I was afraid and went and hid the talent here. Lo, there thou hast, that is thine. He said, you gave me one, I'm giving you one back. I didn't lose anything, didn't gain anything, but I didn't lose anything. Let me tell you something. I did not become a pastor to manage the decline of a church. I won't do that. I see pastors and all they're doing is managing the decline. That's not why I became a pastor. I'm thankful God's blessed us through the years and continues to bless us. But I am not here to manage decline. And any big job I've gotten into, except homeowner association, I'll join a homeowner association to wipe that thing out. They're closed down. Y'all, anybody got a homeowner association? Don't like those. Anyway, by the way, I can see the benefit, but I see pastors that are managing the decline. Shame on them. Shame on them. God gave us something. He said, build it, grow it, make it bigger. That's what we're to do, not to just hold on. That's not the... A church is not functioning if it's just holding on. That is not what we're here to do. And if that's all we're doing, we might as well shut the doors. The church is to be reaching, making a difference, changing lives. Verse 26, he called him a wicked and slothful servant. Verse number 30, and he said to be cast into outer darkness with weeping and gnashing of teeth. And one of my favorite texts in all the Bible, I tell you, this last part of chapter 25, to me, is something we should read probably on a weekly basis, personally, each of us, to remind ourselves of who we are. It says, before him, verse 32, shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say to them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was a hungered, you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? When saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. You see, when we visit the sick, when we help the hungry, when we help the hurting, when we shelter the homeless, all of these good deeds that show compassion and kindness and love, if I give $100 to somebody and they waste it, it's not on me, that's on them. Because I gave it its stewardship. If I help somebody in their recovery and they take advantage. Guys, and here's the sad thing is, lots of times they do. But Jesus records that. And Jesus says, if you did it for them, you it's like you did it for me. And then he said to the others, depart, because you... If you've not done it for the least of these, you did it not for me. And so these things that he's listed here are all ministries that we could be involved in. Not everybody's going to do the same thing. But they're all things that we can do to touch the heart of God. Comments, questions? Y'all ready to go to heaven? For taking a busload, you'll wait. All right, let's take a break.